What does it feel like when the entire nation looks to you for answers during the worst economic collapse in 80 years? Barack Obama didn't have to imagine. He lived it. His memoir, A Promised Land, opens not with triumphant celebration, but with the weight of January 2009, when financial institutions teetered on collapse, unemployment soared, and millions of Americans faced foreclosure. This isn't just another political autobiography filled with self-congratulation. Instead, Obama offers something rarer, an honest reckoning with power's possibilities and limitations, told by someone who defied every conventional path to reach the White House. From Chicago's South Side to the Oval Office, his journey reveals how America's highest ideals collide with its deepest contradictions. Nothing about Obama's trajectory suggested presidential destiny. Unlike political dynasties or career politicians, his story began with questions about race, belonging, and America's promise. After Columbia University, he chose Chicago's struggling neighborhoods over corporate law, working as a community organizer where he learned politics from the ground up. These weren't theoretical exercises, but real battles, fighting for job training programs, organizing tenants against slumlords, registering voters block by block. Obama's organizing background shaped his political approach, listening first, building coalitions, seeking practical solutions. His 2000 congressional loss to Bobby Rush taught hard lessons about timing and authenticity. By 2004, his Senate campaign and Democratic convention speech made him a national figure overnight. The presidential leap came shockingly fast. Months into his Senate term, ranked 99th in seniority, he joked about not knowing where the Capitol restrooms were. Michelle initially opposed the run, questioning when ambition would be enough. Obama made a critical mistake, involving his staff before seeking her blessing, creating tension between family and political calling. The 2008 campaign revolutionized American politics through grassroots organizing and digital innovation. In Iowa, David Plouffe built operations in all 99 counties within 6 months, pointing me back to why I'd entered politics, not for power and positioning, but for community and connection. While Clinton cultivated wealthy donors, Obama discovered millions would contribute small amounts, college students pledging coffee money, grandmothers collecting from sewing circles. These donations funded a campaign competing everywhere while maintaining grassroots authenticity. After losing New Hampshire, Obama discovered a defining quality. He felt steadiest when things were going to hell. Obama's resilience carried him through brutal primary battles with Clinton and the Reverend Jeremiah Wright controversy, whose inflammatory sermons nearly derailed his campaign. The general election brought Sarah Palin, whose rallies drew massive crowds with nativist rhetoric. Through Palin, Obama writes, the dark spirits long lurking at the Republican Party's edges, xenophobia, anti-intellectualism, conspiracy theories, found their way to center stage. When the 2008 financial crisis exploded, Obama demonstrated steady leadership while McCain appeared unprepared. Obama grappled constantly with becoming America's first Black president. W.E.B. Du Bois's concept of double consciousness, always seeing oneself through others' eyes, took on new meaning. I had never personally felt this divided identity, or had others question my fundamental Americanness, at least not until I ran for president. Walking through the Capitol for his inauguration, he thought about enslaved people who'd helped build it, civil rights marchers who'd faced dogs and fire hoses, his grandfather who once rode in the back of the bus. Yet Obama resisted being defined solely as Black president, seeking to govern for all Americans while acknowledging his election's special significance. Obama inherited catastrophe. A December 2008 briefing revealed the devastation. Failing financial institutions, markets down 40%, 2.3 million foreclosures, household wealth plummeting 16%, five times worse than 1929. The Recovery Act became his first achievement, nearly $800 billion, combining emergency payments, tax cuts, and infrastructure. Though economists like Christina Romer pushed for more, political reality constrained them. despite campaign promises of bipartisanship, the House passed it without a single Republican vote, the opening salvo in McConnell and Boehner's 8-year strategy of total obstruction. Healthcare reform remained deeply personal. Obama remembered 3-month-old Sasha's emergency room visit for viral meningitis, his friend Bobby avoiding doctors because insurance cost a week's fishing catch, and his mother battling cancer while fighting her insurer over pre-existing conditions. When Republican Scott Brown won Ted Kennedy's Senate seat, many declared reform dead. Through parliamentary maneuvering and Nancy Pelosi's legislative mastery, the bill passed in March 2010. "This celebration meant more to me than election night," Obama writes, "a promise fulfilled rather than just made." Obama inherited 2 wars and the fight against al-Qaeda. Though he'd opposed the Iraq War, he now owned its conclusion while refocusing on Afghanistan, a war of necessity. This led to a difficult 2009 decision, sending 30,000 additional troops, disappointing supporters expecting quicker withdrawal. The hunt for Osama bin Laden remained priority. When intelligence located a compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan, potentially housing the al-Qaeda leader, Obama authorized a risky raid into Pakistani territory. The mission succeeded on May 1, 2011. For Americans, the raid offered catharsis, the closest thing to a V-Day in a war without formal surrenders, Obama writes. Yet he questioned whether such unity was only possible when killing terrorists. The Arab Spring presented different challenges. When protests erupted across the Middle East in early 2011, Obama balanced democracy commitments against strategic relationships with authoritarian regimes. In Libya, as Muammar Gaddafi threatened a Benghazi massacre, Obama authorized limited intervention alongside European and Arab allies, preventing potential mass casualties while raising questions about America's role promoting democracy abroad. The presidency transformed Obama's family life. Secret Service protection eliminated spontaneity, no impromptu trips for his daughters. Michelle struggled with lost privacy while excelling publicly through Let's Move. Obama describes a recurring dream capturing the presidency's constraints. "I'm on the streets of an unnamed Pleasant City neighborhood with trees and storefronts. Sometimes I'm on a bike, but usually walking, when suddenly I realize no one recognizes me. My security detail is gone. I have nowhere to be. My choices have no consequence. I feel like I've won the lottery." Despite constraints, Obama found joy coaching Sasha's basketball team, hosting dinners with artists and intellectuals, and attending concerts. He maintained morning workouts and evening walks for mental health. When Malia asked what he planned to do about endangered tigers, he recognized both the power and limits of his office. The memoir ends with the bin Laden raid in May 2011, leaving readers anticipating a second volume. A Promised Land presents leadership grounded in thoughtful deliberation, moral purpose, and respect for democratic institutions. Obama's achievements, preventing economic depression, passing healthcare reform, killing Osama bin Laden, represent significant accomplishments, yet he acknowledges unfinished work on climate change, immigration reform, and economic inequality. What emerges most powerfully isn't a catalog of victories, but something deeper: the belief that politics can be noble and public service represents the highest calling. "If I remain hopeful," he writes, "it's because I've learned to place my faith in my fellow citizens, especially those of the next generation, whose conviction in the equal worth of all people seems to come as second nature." Standing at the Lincoln Memorial on his inauguration eve, Obama felt history's weight, but also hoped that his presidency might represent another step in America's journey toward its founding promise. In a world increasingly divided by fear and tribalism, Obama's story reminds us that progress requires sustained collective effort, respect for constitutional norms, and belief in our shared humanity. The Promised Land isn't a destination, but a direction, a choice that belongs not to presidents, but to citizens.